There is something that is really common among a few blind people in this state, and they have four legs, and they've been really good. There have been no barking incidents yet. So, and we now have another dog. William, are you in here? And how many dogs are here today so far? Five of them? There are five dogs. So, if we have 26 people and five dogs, what is the percentage of dogs to people? I bet Raul, who's going to speak, is could tell us this. So I would say that we have a pretty high percentage because the last time that I heard any statistic, it was like maybe 1 or 2% of blind people own have guide dogs or use guides. We are going to turn the time over now to let you hear from Raul. Is it you or is it Stacy?
It's actually both of us. So, hello, everybody.
Very good.
Hello.
And Raul's the president and Stacy the secretary for the NFB division called National Association of Guide Dog Users. So there you go.
And to answer your question from earlier, if there's 26 people and there's five guide dogs, that's an average of 1 to 5, not counting for any remainders because we don't want to split people or dogs. So that would be about 20%.
And what is the national average of numbers of, do you know that?
I don't. I could sound all educated and give you a number that sounds really good, but I really don't have that.
And not everybody here is blind, of course. But nonetheless, that is still, I would say, a pretty high percentage.
It is. So first off, thank you for inviting NAGDU, Stacy and I specifically, but also NAGDU in general to speak at the convention. We as in Stacy and I, have been actually talking about doing an Alaskan cruise at some point.
Yeah, it's, I think it's going to be after our one we're going on in January.
Yeah, we're going on a cruise in January. So I don't know that we might cruise in Alaska in January, but we're definitely looking at doing one for sure. So my name is Raul Gallegos. I was elected to president of NAGDU in 2020, but I've been a guide dog user for a lot longer than that, and I've been involved with the division and with the National Federation of the Blind in general since the early 90s. I always like to share that my introduction to the National Federation of the Blind was when I picked a fight with Diane McGeorge, which I lost very spectacularly. That was sort of like my intro with that. So I'll let Stacy introduce herself here in just a bit, but I'm going to share with everybody NAGDU's contact information and some of the things that we're doing and some of the things that we would like your help with as it pertains to guide dog users and our division.
Oh, so it's my turn. So I'm Stacy Gallegos, and I am currently between guide dogs, although I have my application into Guiding Eyes for my third dog. I took a little bit of a, after losing my second guide dog, I had a bad time with that. So I'm finally in a place where I am ready to get another dog. And so, but I was elected secretary of NAGDU at our last national convention this past summer in New Orleans. And I've not, when I was listening to your story, Bonnie, it kind of resonated with me because I'm relatively new to the Federation, although my philosophy has always been of the Federation mindset. And so I've been a Federationist a little over 8 years. I currently serve as president of our Houston chapter here in Texas and do lots of other things. But in specifically with the National Association of Guide Dog Users, Raul and I became very involved in the guide dog user division in 2016, and it's been a wonderful thing. So, you want to go over NAGDU's contact?
Yeah, let's go ahead. I'm going to share with everybody our contact information for NAGDU, and then we will, go on with giving everybody some news and some updates. We have some exciting things to share, some stuff that I'm very proud of. But first, it's important for you to know how to reach us. So the email address for NAGDU if you want to reach the board, is going to be board@nagdu.org, and that's board@nagdu.org. That will go to the 7 board of directors for the division. We set this up this way, so if you have a question, and whether it's something I can answer or something that one of our other board members can answer, and they can get to it more quickly and more efficiently, that saves on everybody's wait time. We also have a phone number that you can call or text, and that phone number is 346-439-7444. Again, that's 346-439-7444. It is listed on our website, nagdu.org, and it also is listed in the division section of the main nfb.org page under the division section. We also have a Facebook group that we invite everybody to join, whether you're a NAGDU member or not. If you want to kind of see what sort of topics are discussed pertaining to guide dog users and guide dog user news, etc. And if you're on Facebook, by doing a simple search for NAGDU, it will take you there and find it. If you're on a web browser, you can go to facebook.com/groups/NAGDU, and it will also take you there. And then, of course, you can also follow us on Twitter @NAGDU, and we'll be happy to, you know, we share information about the various different meetings and events that the division holds increase our membership, to spread awareness, etc. Every couple of weeks, we have a social get-together that was spawned from the COVID isolation, and we call it Yappy Hour. And Yappy Hour is designed to just hang out with members of NAGDU, and also whether they're board members, whether you're a guide dog user, whether you're interested, you just kind of want to come waste some time or talk about something you know, that's on your mind or whatever. Although we talk a lot about guide dog stuff, there have been times that we've talked about other things. Like sometimes we'll even just share recipes or something, you know. So it's completely unofficial. We don't hold any business, etc. But the only rule is that we ask everybody to be respectful, and we abide by the NFP code of conduct. Every month, also on the that takes place actually every other Saturday, starting at 3 p.m. Eastern, which, what is that, 11 Alaska? I'm trying to do my math here. I believe that's 11 Alaska or 10. Somebody will have to correct me. And then we also have another event called Guide Dog Matters, which takes place once per month. This one is actually Stacy's puppy. It happens on the third Sunday at 3 Eastern. And Guide Dog Matters is where we will take a topic of discussion and do either a webinar presentation. Sometimes we will have a guest to speak on that. So we've done things like, you know, what questions should you ask when you shop around for a guide dog program? What are pros and cons about traveling in the summertime? Should you take your dog to the carnival, to the fair, to the circus? Why or why not? How do you advocate for yourself? You know, what are the best ways to advocate for yourself? What are some good do's and don'ts when you fly with your guide dog, especially now that those airline carrier act rules have been updated? So Guide Dog Matters is real good for that. We're always looking for new ideas. If you have a certain kind of question, you would want to see a certain topic talked about, presented, etc., we definitely welcome your feedback. And then the board of directors also meets typically once a month, and that will usually happen on the last Sunday of every month. And that starts at 8 Eastern, which would be, again, in my math here, it's either 3 or 4 p.m. Alaska time. And so the meeting takes place. Everything that we do takes place over Zoom to kind of have the best reach. And that meeting usually lasts for about an hour or so. And we invite people to listen in on the public meeting for the board of directors, so you can stay caught up as to what the board is doing and things that are going on.
So we don't like to assume. So I just want to kind of quickly go over what NAGDU is in the event that this might be somebody's first Alaska convention. So NAGDU is a division of the National Federation of the Blind. And if you're a member in a local guide dog user division or, you know, a committee, that constitutes membership in the NFB. And it also where in NAGDU you're recognized as a member. We are a division that works to help not only educate guide dog users and potential guide dog users about their rights and responsibilities, but we're also an outlet for businesses and schools, higher places of learning, universities. And people have reached out to us to ask questions related to guide dog users and our rights and responsibilities. In terms of promoting guide dog training programs, there's over 20 plus programs throughout the country. And sometimes individuals who have a lot more time than I do, they elect to take on the tremendous work of being an owner trainer. And so we realize here in the division that there's different places that people might choose to go. And our board and our membership is made up of, you know, graduates from all of the guide dog training programs. But NAGDU's position is we remain neutral. Our thoughts are, and what we tell potential guide dog users and maybe folks that want to change schools is, you know, do your research. You can certainly talk to other guide dog users, but contact the school yourself, contact the schools that you're interested in, and match them based on what your needs and what you're looking for. So Raul and I are both Guiding Eyes graduates, but we don't sit there and try to tell everybody to go get your dog from Guiding Eyes, because that may not be the better school for you to go to. It's very individualized.
The other thing that I always like to point out about what we aren't is we are not the guide dog division. And I always kind of say that with a smile because I will often hear that, you know, contact the guide dog division. So we are the guide dog user division, right? And that user makes all the difference, because if we were the guide dog division, then that would be a division that's made up of the dogs, right? So I think that's very important to really keep in mind as we, you know, talk about the division and what we are, what we aren't, what we do, what we don't do, et cetera. So I always try to, you know, make sure that everybody knows that. I usually compare that to when someone says National Federation for the Blind as opposed to of the blind. You know, some of us kind of groan, roll our eyes, like, you know, there is a difference, you know, so that's kind of how I'm with that. So I really try to educate that. All right, let's talk about some of the stuff that's going on with guide dog users. Let's see, airlines or Uber or rideshare? Which one should I pick? Let's do rideshare. Right, so very huge thing that's going on, and this has been an issue that has gone on for many, many years, is that even before rideshare companies existed, people have issues with public transportation, usually cab drivers. And then now with rideshare companies, you know, like Uber and Lyft and all the various other small companies that have spawned from this kind of service, where you order a car or a vehicle and the driver pulls up and they see that you have a guide dog and they drive off, or they passively discriminate against you by giving you this sob story about how they're allergic, how they don't want the dog here, how their religion prevents them from having a dog 10 feet, you know, close to them or less, et cetera. And the list goes on and on. There have been different methods to try and combat this, from local educating to lawsuits to everything in between. Some stuff has worked for some people, some of it hasn't. I would say that as a general rule, in the big picture, it really hasn't been very successful. You know, I'm certainly not a lawyer, so I'm not going to talk to you about the pros and cons of suing. But I, from what I understand, is, you know, if someone gets sued locally, or if, you know, something happens as a result of a lawsuit, that could also affect something in the future if a federal law is passed or any sort of legislation. And so you always want to be careful about stuff like that. And I know that I'm saying that in complete layman's terms. So I do apologize in case there's any lawyers, you know, here with that. So what are we doing, you know, about that? If you attended the national convention this year, whether in person or hybrid, you may be aware that out of all the 20 plus resolutions that were submitted, two of them were pertaining to guide dog users. One specifically for Lyft, one specifically for Uber. And to summarize, in those resolutions, we define the problem. And the problem is essentially what I have just stated about the constant denials and the lawsuits not really working and the whole religion and allergy thing. The what we want part of the resolution is basically that we want this to stop. We want to try and work with Uber, you know, and Lyft to find a way to educate these drivers. We want them to have a better secure system in place to make drivers accountable for these blatant discriminations, etc. I am happy to report that Uber stepped up to the plate and has been having meetings with us about going through this problem and answering the problem. And they have admitted that, yes, this is a problem. And in fact, one of the first meetings that were when this took place, they had a copy of the resolution. And, you know, they were going over it with us line by line to answer or at least comment on these issues to, you know, see where we can go. We have not yet seen the results of what I'm about to tell you, but this is where we're going to need some help. So one of the things that Uber is going to do is, let me tell you what they have done in the past, so I can tell you what they're going to do so you see the difference. So as of now, for the most part, and as of a month ago and way, you know, as you go to the past, if I order a ride and I experience a denial and I report it, it goes through their regular reporting system, you know, as if you reported a rude driver or, you know, my driver was 30 seconds late and that was really uncomfortable kind of thing, right? So not really a high priority thing. It was just kind of, you know, reported as just a regular everyday type of complaint. So that was huge. Another thing is, you know, how does the education of these drivers work? And what was the resolution? Did the driver get kicked off the platform? What's going on with that? We would get this generic message. We have educated the driver and, you know, it wasn't very informative. And the list goes on, right? So it was very unsatisfactory. So what Uber is doing now is, first off, they're escalating the type of report that if you report, and this is something new, so it's rolling out, so it may not be in place fully yet. Essentially, though, when you report a denial, the denial is going to be escalated to, I believe they called it a level 4 escalation. And level 4 is at the same level as if you're reporting, I've been in an accident, I've got a 911 emergency. In other words, it's going to get their attention. It's going to go, you know, that far, or my driver assaulted me, you know, that kind of thing. So it's being reported at a much more serious level. The other thing is they're going to start adding a call, call button, from within the app so that you can get a hold of someone a lot more easily if you're in the, if you're experiencing a denial. So they're trying to, answer these, you know, these types of questions. The other thing that they're going to be doing in this next part, they're rolling it out as a test in some of the more frequent cities where complaints happen.
California, New York.
Yep, Los Angeles and New York City. Of course, you know, LA, New York, everything always happens there first, it seems like. What they're doing is they're rolling out this, it's sort of like, I don't want to call it a test program, but it's more of an experimental kind of thing to see how well this works, where it's going to have like a pop-up where the driver, you know, when they get this call or whatever, if it's known that it's a guide dog user who's ordering it, they're going to get, you know, a pop-up immediately to remind them that this is a person with a guide dog, you know, to, you know, remind them of, you know, what they're supposed to do or not do. And this way it makes it a lot easier to track if the driver still denies your ride or, you know, cancels your ride or whatever. They'll be able to track that a lot easier. As part of the new rollout, drivers are on a sort of a strike 1, 2, 3 deal now, where if they, you know, if the result of an investigation is that they knowingly denied someone with a legitimate service dog. They do get the strike one and two before they are permanently banned from the platform. And that is a permanent thing. So if, you know, driver A does this, you know, January this year, and then they go and do it again a year and a half from now, that strike still carries over. So that, you know, that other one will be a strike too. So they don't expire. What we're doing to try and collect this data, because we want to hold Uber accountable for this, to tell them, hey, is this working or not, is we have set up an email address that we would like folks to, you know, send us. It's not about the complaint process, but it's about the resolution. You know, if you experience a denial, what was your experience concerning the way Uber handled it? That email address is uber-feedback@nagdu.org. So again, that's uber-feedback@nagdu.org. You'll notice I've only been talking about Uber and I haven't been talking about Lyft. We are hoping to have similar chats with Lyft about this, and we are actively working toward that goal. That just hasn't happened yet. So we're hoping Lyft does work with the NFB in other areas, in the sense of, you know, like right now, Lyft is giving people discount codes to go vote, for example. So I'm hoping that if a guide dog user uses Lyft to go vote, that they don't experience denial. So we're hoping that this will happen. Let me go ahead and pause here before I go on to something else. And I would like to, you know, be respectful of time. So if someone can give me a time check as well, because I would like to, you know, hopefully address some questions if there are any.
Hi, Raul. This is Bonnie. So we are behind. got started late this morning due to Zoom glitches, but is 5 more minutes going to do you?
We can wrap up in 5 for sure.
Thank you.
And what I could do then, yeah, is I can invite people to just call us or write us if you have questions. You know, that way we don't take up more. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. So then the last thing is airlines.
Hang on a second. You do have a question. We just need to get him a mic.
Okay.
So my question is, this is Tom, by the way. My question is, when you are when you register for a Uber and saying, you know, I have a guide dog, you know, that gives the driver opportunity to just kind of nix you, just kind of hit the pass button without even picking you up. Wouldn't that be considered a denial for a guide dog? I mean, the drivers have the option to deny anybody for any reason once they pull up your trip, like where it's going. You know, they can just say, well, I don't want to go that far, and just pass you on to the next person. But I feel like if you're putting ahead of time that you have a guide dog, wouldn't that potentially increase the probability of being denied more frequently?
It does. And I'm glad you brought that up. Okay, so according to the Americans with Disability Act, you know, we as people with disabilities are not required to disclose our disability, right? So I want everybody to be clear on this point, that you absolutely do not have to opt in to disclose that you are blind or that you have a guide dog, okay? Uber has, and some of you may have seen this, recently added a feature where you can put in your profile that you have a disability. And it wasn't even set up for guide dog users specifically. It was just more of so that Uber doesn't charge you extra time in case you're having a hard time finding the car, whether you're blind or in a wheelchair or walker, you know, for any reason, right? So they have that. So what they, during these talks, they have an option where if you want to, it's completely voluntary. You can opt in to say that you are a guide dog user, and you are right. That kind of gives that driver, an opening. So if they want to use that excuse try to do that, according to from our Uber talks, that is taken into account with an investigation if you experience a ride denial. So they'll be able to see that, yes, you opted in, or yes, in the chat, you said this. And look, all of a sudden you have a denial. We've experienced denials for reasons like that, where the driver tried to say it was because of the distance or because you weren't wearing a mask, or, you know, other things like that. So according to Uber, this is supposed to be better now. So, you know, you still don't have to if you don't want to, but that's kind of what they have informed us.
And there was actually a piece in the resolution that we put in there regarding cancellation of rides and showing, making sure rides that possible denials have happened are showing up in your rider history. And so that's another piece of this work with Uber that's kind of help going on that, you know, we can have better, there'll be better tracking of those rides, and which will then help to, you know, identify potential denials.
This is Kevin Whitley. What I have experienced is the driver, I can monitor the driver and how close he is to where I'm at. And once he sees that I'm standing up there with the dog, that's the ride gets canceled and they automatically send another car to me.
Yep.
And yeah. And it's kind of like their slick way of denying me due to my guide dog without them being exposed to it.
Yes. They've done that. They've done things where if they know ahead of time, they'll put their phone in airplane mode. They'll kind of park about a block away and just kind of stay idle. I mean, there's been all kinds of stuff. So we're hoping that, you know, it seems to me from our meetings with Uber that they are taking this serious. So we do need that feedback if this happens to see how they're handling these kinds of complaints to, you know, to try to weed this down. One thing that I'm very confident about is I believe that it hasn't really been until this year that they have been this open and willing to talk with us. So that to me is a positive thing.
All right. Okay, you need a mic, Bill.
Yes.
Aside from my guide dog, you know, I've had Uber drivers deny me a ride because I am blind. Yeah. They didn't care about the dog. What they cared about was the fact I was blind and their particular worldview and religious view, whatever. I was denied a ride because I was blind.
We have been hearing about more and more of those types of denials where someone's denied for just that reason. That in general, although the talks that we've been having with Uber specifically with this, with NAGDU, have not focused on just the blindness. Uber has stated, you know, that they are aware of those types of complaints. We need to hear about them more. And for something like that, what I would recommend for that kind of a denial is that you reach out to our legal department. Valerie Yingling is our main contact person, and you can write her legal at nfb.org.
Are there issues with language barriers? That's what I'm experiencing. I really don't think it's a blatant discrimination. I really don't think the drivers, some of them have a proper grasp of English language.
Yep.
And que dices, no entendí.
Yeah.
Yes. We've seen that. I experienced a potential denial one time where the guy was just speaking to me in Spanish and he was trying to get away. So I just talked to him in Spanish back and then he didn't have that excuse. But if it's not Spanish or if it's a language that you don't know, in case you're not a bilingual person, then. But I think a lot of that happens too, where we've had rough rides in the sense that it wasn't even a denial, but we've just had rides where we got dropped off at wrong locations because we can't communicate with them, you know, to tell us. But, you know, so that kind of goes into, you know, some other stuff. But we have seen it, though, with the denials, and it's a whole, you know, language thing.
So the one thing, just in closing, that I would suggest is and encourage is that we are going to be there. There's requests for feedback that's out, you know, and will be coming out. So please, you know, if you're not subscribed to the NAGDU list, please consider getting subscribed and please help us, you know, by doing your part and taking a few minutes to fill out surveys and give feedback, because it really takes all of us to make change. Change is not made by one or two people.
Hello, my name is Jackie. The problem I experience is that they will pick me up, but when they realize that they think that I'm blind, they will take me the longest route out of the way to get there. And then once I start complaining and inform them that I can see, that this is not the way to my house or this is not the way to where I'm going, they come up with lots of excuses.
For that, I would recommend you just go through the process about my fare, you know, wasn't right. That's happened to me before, and they have automated systems that will fix that according to the GPS from point A to point B. So if you're charged a longer, you know, ride fare, that usually will fix that. All right. Well, we appreciate the time the time that you guys have allotted us here. We hope one of the things on our bucket list is to get to every state convention. So Alaska is definitely on our list somewhere. I don't know what year, but it is. So we hope to be there in person sometime and meet a lot of you.
This is Bonnie. Wow. That'll be two more dogs.
Yep. So we
and we're gonna be like most people. We're going to be more interested in your dogs, right? Just kidding.
Well, thank you guys so much and have a great rest of your convention.
Thank you for coming. Great presentation. Mm-hmm. All right. Yes. Yes. Okay. That won't apply to Zoomers.
Okay, this is Dana. The restaurant of this hotel, there's a sign, dogs are welcome at the lakefront. We've never had a dog who smoked in bed and set fire to the blankets. We've never had a dog who stole our towels and played the TV too loud or had a noisy argument with their traveling companion. We've never had a dog who got drunk and busted up the furniture. If your dog will vouch for you, then you'll be welcomed here too.
Oh, I love it. Dana, thank you so much for sharing that.
Hey, yes. Bonnie, this is Kelsey Talent. Just another comment on the dog's remark. The lakefront is also home to the Iditarod, just so everybody knows. It's a pretty...
Oh, that's why.
In February and March, it's a pretty happening spot here. So
can I bring my kitty with me, do you think?